This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher, and in the United States, Trader Nick. Good afternoon from London, guys.
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys.
Plenty to talk about. On this side of the Atlantic, we've had the latest UK inflation numbers, which we'll come to soon. But Nick, firstly, gold today has hit another all-time high.
Yeah, gold, another all-time high, as you mentioned, $29.40, let's call it, on the spot price of gold against the US dollar. And this has been a trend here recently. We've seen gold just going for yet another one after a string of all-time highs. This has been a really impressive breakout on gold. We had that all-time high around 2790, let's call it. Once that level broke, it's just been day after day for the most part where we've touched intraday or at closing price an all-time high. I wanted to talk about this. I flagged this as part of our outline for today's podcast because people might be a little confused as to why this is happening. You're not really seeing the Fed coming out saying, hey, we're going to cut interest rates a whole bunch. In fact, the Fed is kind of on pause. And people might be wondering what's going on with gold. Why is this hitting so many all-time highs? Meanwhile, you have stocks kind of chopping back and forth and the dollar index is not moving a whole lot. You've got a little bit of downside on the dollar. What's the real root cause to this? Well, there's a number of things. I think that there is some uncertainty about tariffs, but I wouldn't say that it's all just tariffs because let's think about this for a second. If tariffs were really scaring the market, that would probably cause the stock market to move lower, but we're not really seeing that. So why is gold moving higher? Well, I have a little bit of a theory, and it's kind of a fun one. So recently, Elon Musk has been making a push for wanting to audit Fort Knox. And at the same time, we have seen a large amount of physical gold being sold by the Bank of England and heading over to New York on flights. This is not something that is speculation or conspiracy or anything. It's happening. And maybe a large part of this could be imposed tariffs coming down the line could apply to the price of gold and physical gold. So maybe there is just this maximum movement possible before those tariffs kind of take place. But regardless of the reason, we're seeing a lot of demand of gold flowing into the United States. We're also seeing speculation that, you know, Elon Musk wants to do an audit of Fort Knox. What would it even mean to the financial system if an audit became a possibility, even the slight possibility that they're going to go in and check what's happening in the Fort Knox gold reserves that the United States claims to have? If there's anything remotely close to that event occurring, which by the way, hasn't happened for over 50 years. There hasn't been an audit of Fort Knox. And that gold is technically the American people's gold. That's the way it works, right? That's the financial backing of our entire system. Possibly there's this huge accumulation of gold. There's also, we know for many years now, central bank buying, especially in places like China, which has resumed its tremendous buying of physical gold. There's other gold reserves that are being stacked around the world by central banks. So it's all kind of coming to a spearhead here recently, where you have this maximum kind of accumulation of gold by many central banks and this speculation about audits of Fort Knox. And we also, of course, have the story that was already applied to gold, which was the central banks around the world wanting to cut interest for the most part. There's one other little kind of side note item that I want to quickly just reference, and it's the Bank of Japan looking to hike rates. We saw in August of last year, that was a bit of a scare effect to the market's kind of overall risk on, risk off sentiment or vibe. We saw a big shift towards risk off briefly there. Could that be another reason why people are kind of flocking to gold to get away from the risk of, you know, the dollar having some sort of larger sell-off? Just an interesting story, and I definitely think it is worth paying attention to as you've got gold moving higher. Meanwhile, a lot of other markets are kind of flat to range bound.
Meanwhile, on this side of the pond, we've seen UK inflation jump sharply, driven mainly by rising food prices, airfares, and an increase in private school fees, which has been a controversial measure brought in by the new government where they put VAT on private school fees here. But that is a higher than expected jump, isn't it, Kenny, to 3%, which is 2.5% in December. And it means that prices have risen at their fastest pace for 10 months. So anyone looking for another interest rate cut by the Bank of England sooner rather than later may be disappointed.
That's correct, Johnny. You've summed that up quite nicely. As you mentioned, inflation did surprise on the upside and hit 3% in January. It's almost the highest that it's been in a year. Core CPI, was also up in a similar fashion. It went up to 3.7%, up from 3.2% in December. And services inflation, which the BOE keeps a very close eye on, as far as determining what its rate path will be for interest rates, it's still very high. It rose to 5%, up from 4.4%. It was a bit lower than what the Bank of England had expected, but much higher than the BOE's 2% inflation target. So this really represents a major headache for the Bank of England. And as you mentioned, it complicates any possibility of rate cuts in the next few months. The central bank would like to lower rates to give a boost to the flagging economy. But with inflation moving the wrong way, it's doubtful they'll be able to continue lowering rates in the next few months.
Yeah, it's a dilemma, isn't it? Because at the moment, it looks like we're heading towards the way of stagflation, if not already, because we've got low growth and higher inflation. I mean, 3% isn't the end of the world necessarily, but it's probably more to do with what the trend is and how much further the prices are going to go northward, because it isn't going to just stop at 3%, because we've got other things to factor in later in the year, like higher energy prices and so on. So unlike the rest of the world, and I know we're going to talk about what happened with the RBNZ today, Kenny, the trend everywhere else in the world is certainly on lower rates, almost with the exception of the UK.
That's correct, Johnny. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand remains very aggressive. And we saw a second straight cut of 50 basis points today, which lowered the cash rate to 3.75%. And Governor Orr said that he expects the cash rate to continue to go down, and he's looking at 3% by the end of the year. So it looks like the central bank is doing a pretty good job. Right now, they're 3.75%, and to get to the 3%, we still have a ways to go, but we can expect smaller, what central bankers like to call gradual cuts. So I think we'll see a shift from these jumbo 50 basis point cuts to two or three smaller cuts of 25 basis points, and that could come as early as April or May. Again, the Central Bank of New Zealand, just like the BOE, wants to continue lowering rates in order to give a boost to the economy. What was a bit of a surprise today was that the New Zealand dollar not only didn't fall, but it actually went up about 0.5%, which is surprising considering the rate cut and the fact that the central bank said they'll continue lowering rates. You would have expected the New Zealand dollar to show some weakness, but instead it went up about 0.5% before it gave back those gains. So I think in the general environment that we're expecting rate cuts, and today's cut was expected, it's not necessarily affecting the currencies. When the markets are fully aware of what the central banks are doing, sometimes it doesn't really have much effect on the currencies, as we saw today with the New Zealand dollar.
Yeah, and to both of you guys' points, Kenny and Johnny, with the UK inflation specifically, I wanted to just talk about that mention that you said, Johnny, about stagflation, this concept of, okay, you've got inflation now doing the same thing as the US, where it seems to have at least for now rounded out, and it's definitely not trending lower. And at the same time, you've got a little bit of growth concerns. Stagflation is certainly farther off in the US than it is potentially in the UK. But that is a nasty sort of situation to deal with. And it kind of beckons the question, what does the currency world look like in that scenario where you have maybe both places seeing a resurgence in inflation, but the economies of the two different places are in a little different spot, right? The US jobs market still relatively robust. You have PMIs in the positive territory. It's an interesting divergence, and perhaps that could lead to a scenario where we're talking about 2022 again, where you had this kind of rising inflation situation, but it was more about like which economy is holding up better in that scenario. So for currency traders out there, that's maybe the story, is you're seeing inflation return globally in a lot of ways, but which economies can fare the best in that circumstance. I did also mention it briefly, but a lot of stuff is pointing towards the Bank of Japan actually hiking rates. And maybe a quick question for Kenny on that too is, with the Bank of Japan potentially hiking rates, does that pose any global risk? If they start hiking rates, do you think that could cause maybe another scare type event like we saw in August, as the carry trade unwind was a big theme? What do you think?
Well, I guess there's always that possibility, Nick. As you mentioned, when they did start to raise rates, it did cause a bit of a panic really in the markets. But what I've noticed with the Bank of Japan is that they seem to be telegraphing more than they have in the past that they plan to raise rates. Usually the Bank of Japan is very secretive. I've written about the fact that there's almost no transparency compared to other central banks, but they are, I think, moving out of that shell a little bit and giving some pretty wide hints that they plan to raise rates. Every meeting we sit and wonder what's going to happen, every BOJ meeting, but I'm not sure we'll see the volatility that we've seen in the past.
And I wonder also with that concept of being more transparent, you know, if that is partially a new theme that has come on since that August 5th movement. In that moment, there was an announcement from the Bank of Japan. Their stance on that was basically, we're not going to look to hike rates if it means obstructing the kind of circumstance of the rest of the world, right? They're aware that maybe transparency is helpful to the global stage. If they telegraph way in advance, hey, we are looking to hike rates, this is something that we're looking to do, rather than drop it like a bomb onto the market, that might serve kind of the global situation a little bit better because people can be a little bit more prepared.
Absolutely. I think one of the problems they have is that they play this cat and mouse game with speculators, as we all know, and they don't want to tip their hand too much before a rate decision. But as you said, I think they're showing more signs of realizing the effects of not having any transparency. And they have been signaling that they plan to continue to raise rates and normalize policy, but I think it will be a slow move.
Very interesting, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. We will speak to you again very soon.
Thanks. Always great to be with you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.